This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Today, I'm joined by someone truly remarkable, a woman who has represented our country on the grandest stage of them all, the Olympics. Alvira Wood is not just an Olympian. She's a fierce competitor, a dedicated athlete, and a role model for so many. But today, we're going to dive into a side of the Olympic journey that isn't often talked about, the emotional and psychological challenges that can come after the Games. Post-Olympics depression is a real and pressing issue, and Alvira is here to share her personal experience, shed light on this topic, and help us understand how we can better support our athletes. Alvira, welcome to the Good Things Guy podcast. It's an absolute honor to have you here.
Hi, Brett. Thank you so much for having me and for chatting about this issue.
Alvira, let's start right at the beginning. When did you go to the Olympics and what sport were you representing?
Brett, I went in 2008 to the Games in Beijing, China, and I participated in fencing, specifically in the women's saber event.
But there's also an undercurrent of a story here because your husband was with you, right?
Yes, we happen to be the second married couple to qualify and represent South Africa at the same Games. We met through fencing. My husband represented South Africa in the men's epee team. And at the time of going, we are the only parents at the time of going. Our son, then 4 years old, had to stay with my mom in South Africa because mom and dad were off to participate in the Olympic Games.
That must just add so much more pressure to what is already a very high pressure environment. Can you perhaps share with us what it feels like to compete at that level, both physically and mentally?
Brett, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And one thing to forget, and at the top moment, you know, you don't realize, you go on automatic. And I think the amount of adrenaline that's pumps is also mind-boggling. You know, in fencing, you go on that strip and the wall looks like a wall, and then they switch off all the lights and they put these spotlights on you, and it's quiet because you're waiting for the TV stream, etc. And yeah, so it's really mind-boggling. And I was reminded of that, believe it or not, at my more mature age. I did try and qualify for Paris this year, very realistic about my chances. But to go back and compete at that level in April, it just reminded me how intense it is and what that pressure is. It's unless you've been on Olympic level, regardless of sport, it's difficult to explain to somebody. You can't think of anything else. You just try and survive. Like, it's literally breathe in, breathe out, and try and focus on what you're doing.
Did you ever find that pressure came from South Africa, or was that more support from all the South Africans that were watching here back home?
But remember in 2008 when we competed, social media wasn't remotely as strong as it is now, not even YouTube and those kind of things, and also not the channels and the broadcasts. I know that, you know, in the lower rounds where we competed, because we did fall out fairly early, those aren't even broadcast in South Africa. So the support is not from the general South Africans. I think our big medalists, they big time under enormous pressure. And even in subsequent years, I walk to this day, I walk in a competition hall, and the expectation is I must win, regardless of age, regardless of event. And that can catch up big time on you. But yeah, it is personal pressure as well. Do not underestimate that. And they're trying to deliver to your coach, to your family, especially because it's huge investments, time, money to get an athlete there. So those pressures, I think, weigh more on one's mind than South Africa in general.
And the mind can sometimes be a very scary place. I often talk about how we as human beings need to teach our own brains and that voice in our head to be kinder to ourselves. And I can imagine at that level, that conversation to be kinder must be something that you're having on a daily basis. Tell me now, when the games are over, the days and the weeks that follow that Olympics, what does that feel like to come back home after competing on such a massive stage?
It's actually quite odd and quite weird because, you dream for a long time of achieving that level and you never think of the what after. It's almost like people planning the big wedding day and they don't realize that now you're married for the rest of your life, hopefully to this person. I don't think the after. So for both my husband and I, it was a bit different because we did it in that we were both qualified and we did work. We came back to jobs. Yes, we had quite a bit of unpaid leave and we had to recover from that and those kind of things. But it is still that something is suddenly missing. And where am I going to now? And what am I going to do now? And for younger athletes or those that are borderline more, well, they're full-time. Many athletes aren't professional. They do not get paid, but they do it full-time and they come back and then that is gone. And that is sort of a where do I find myself? Who am I? And I think it was so in a recent interview that I read from Tatiana, now that she's retired, which she said, but she's not just swimming. And it's so true. Swimming is a part of her. It's the same as what Roger Federer said when he retired from tennis. He said, tennis is part of him, but he's graduated from tennis and he's still Roger. And a lot of people do not realize that they must find themselves and who they are, regardless of their sport and regardless of the career or the expectation, because not all of them, most of these competitive athletes, an elite athlete, by the way, is not necessarily an elite coach. So many of them are not going to go coaching, and they need to find who they are post-sport.
Well, this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because when I met you at a recent event, we spoke about something that I had no idea existed, and that's my own fault for not knowing enough. But that's why I want my listeners to learn a little bit about this this thing called the Olympic blues or Olympic depression, that sense of loss or emptiness after the games. It's real, and it's something that you're alluding to in this fact where you get back and you don't quite know what to do next, and there is a chance that because you've played on this high level at this incredible games that we have every couple of years, you now are a little bit emptier, and it's a severe problem.
It's actually quite a big problem. And I'm part of the World Olympians Association, and I'm in South Africa also. I represent the South African Olympians Association. We are retired or non-competitive Olympians because you're always once Olympian, always Olympian. So this is a worldwide phenomenon, and not only here. It's also not only your top athletes, your medalists, because remember, it's really the minority medal. There are quite a couple of thousand other athletes who've been there who they might have come stone lost, but they still delivered a personal best. And then come back, and there might be expectations of now people are going to recognize me or I'm going to get sponsorships. And believe you me, no, it's not going to happen. And then to come back down to earth and realize what now? We've read some stories and we've seen in South Africa some very high-profile Olympic athletes. In the years gone by after the competition, things went very much south. So this is a real issue, and that is why there are associations like World Olympians, where we try to, those of us that's been there, done that, try to at least support the new ones to say, we understand, we are there for you. Let's see how we can get you onto any form of a mentoring course or so to support you through this time. Because, your sport, yes, you're brilliant, or maybe you didn't quite perform as you did. Now you must go back, you must feel, you must please explain. Your colleagues, your friends ask you, so how did it go? Why didn't you win? Like people, the fact that people compete at that level. Brett, I don't know if you know what number, what percentage world Olympians make out of the world population.
Well, I could imagine it's very low. It's a 0.0 something, I'm sure.
It's 0.00001% of the world population. There's 5 zeros there. So it is such a small group, and that is why people do not always understand that, and why we then try that to under support those that don't understand. And you know, as I said, sometimes, you know, even years gone by, look at me. I'm one of those many, many Olympians who competed and has really reached that level, but you don't recognize me. I bought something at a hardware store on Friday, and I had my in support of Bock Friday. I had a shirt dating back from the Olympics, and the cashier said she didn't re recognize the Bock's jersey. And I said it actually is not. And I showed her what it was, and I said, and I'm an Olympian. And I said to her, remember, Olympians are normal people who pitch up in hardware stores on Friday afternoons. And she was totally stunned. And I think that's a whole thing that Olympians must also realize, and the new ones that's come back now, how to handle the also the future expectations. Now you must be good at absolutely darn anything. No, you don't have to be. You just need to focus on what you are good at.
So if I ask Elvira, in your opinion, what can be done to better prepare athletes for life after the Olympics?
There's a lot of stuff that could be said, but I know through the Athletes Commission by SASCOC, there was specifically a conference, I think it was late last year, with a lot of these top athletes and talking about what's opportunities and what one can do after sport and do. And there was a lot of interest in that. And I think a big thing would be to give Olympians a chance. Look, these are people who work for absolutely the best. They're dedicated, they're committed, they go, they work hard. And to understand when they seek for support, whatever, don't frown upon that. When they seek jobs, assist them. Many of them battle to find education opportunities because they're spending hours on the sporting field or wherever they train. And that is where the big thing comes in, to give them the opportunity. They might be a bit older and now returning to go and study. Do not frown upon that. Support them in what they do and support them in new ventures. But also use their knowledge, because a lot of these very young people have gained life experience which so few people on this planet has. Acknowledge that and learn from them. And not necessarily just, you know, if it's a hockey player, oh, what do you know about hockey? What do you know about working at that level? And I think we must can tap in more into to what they can share post sport.
Absolutely. I think that's, I mean, first of all, support, 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 and then use these skills that all these incredible athletes have learned along the way. Elvira, mental health in sports is becoming more of a conversation. In life, we're talking more about mental health, but there is still a stigma. What message would you like to send to any other athlete who might be listening to this right now and who might be struggling silently?
Get help. For other reasons, I've had some counseling at one stage, and it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. But you know, really, when you feel really things are getting difficult and you don't want to always speak to your family, go get help. That is respecting yourself and loving yourself, because that pressure is immense and it keeps on running in your mind, especially when you train and you spend many hours on your own. That mind can go a bit very awry. So get help, and do not fear. Look at people like Simone Biles, who spoke so openly in Tokyo. She withdrew because of that, and she came back and performed so well. Our own Chad Leclos raised that issue, and he was very open about it and set an example. Do not be ashamed of that. Take action and do something and get the support.
I think that's so powerful. The first thing is to reach out, and it's the most important thing. And then I think if anybody's listening, it's to support our fellow athletes who we watch and we clap for and we love. Elvira, your openness and willingness to share your story today is truly inspiring. It's so important that we have these conversations, not just to create awareness, but to show our athletes that they're not alone and that there's support out there for them. Thank you so much for being here today and for helping me and all of the listeners understand the complexities of life after the Olympics.
Brett, it's an absolute pleasure. And might I know, this is not just for Olympians. This is all the way down to that kid who's running out for the six rugby team and is having a crap day on the field. Do your best, and do not let your mind overrule it. Keep on fighting and keep on enjoying your sport, because that is why you're doing it. It's sport and it's fun. And always keep that love for that, regardless of who you are.
Sport is meant to be fun. To everyone listening, let's continue to champion our sports stars, not just for their achievements, but for their resilience and their humanity. Until next time, as I always say, okay, love you, bye. That's it. Wishing you only good things. And for more good things, visit www.goodthingsguy.com. Okay? Love you, bye.